This is the Publix Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman. Artscape producer James Baumgartner is in the studio with me today, and we have a couple of things to talk about, right, James?
We do. There's Fairview at Trinity Rep, which we mentioned briefly last week, and Saturday is the return of Rhode Island Pride Fest.
It's back after a two-year break. We talked with Rodney Davis, the president of Rhode Island Pride, about some of the highlights you can expect on Saturday.
Rhode Island Pride is really excited to be having its all-day Pride Fest once again. In past years, it used to be on South Water Street, and we actually outgrew the area. And so now we are moving across the river to the new Providence Innovation District Park on the other side of the pedestrian bridge. We'll be having well over 250 vendors in our business marketplace. We have a social resource area, food trucks, as well as a main stage where we have both regional and national entertainment all day long. Other unique features of Pride, we have Hasbro has a kids Pride Zone. We also have an arts area, and it's a lot of fun. It's the gathering of a lot of people, our communities that intersect, whether they be from the LGBTQIA+ community, people of color, our faith communities. They all find this space to be a great opportunity to do as our theme is for this year. Our theme for Pride is Together Again.
The Illuminated Night Parade is a little bit different from other Pride events across the country. Is that right?
We're not the only ones. So in 2001, we initiated this new idea of doing a nighttime Pride parade. And at first, people were a little skeptical of it. They were like, why mess up a good thing? We've been doing Pride at noontime, melting in the asphalt every year. Why do you want to change things? But in actuality, that change was very helpful in establishing Pride here in Providence and Rhode Island, so that it is now recognized not only in the nation, but even internationally for its uniqueness and just the energy that it brings to downtown Providence for that one day.
The first nighttime event that I went to, I was just knocked out by it, by how joyous it was and how everybody seemed to come together and celebrate it. And I'm not just talking about Pride people. I'm talking about people who look like my family from the Midwest who just wandered in by mistake, you know, and got caught up in it. Everybody seemed to be having a great time and enjoying that spirit. And it just seems like that might be splintering a bit when I look at those people that they just arrested in Idaho who looked like they were headed to disrupt the parade there. And some of the messages that are coming out of the right wing that just seem so intolerant, I'm wondering what happened, because I don't recall that from a couple of years ago, you know?
Well, I don't believe it has changed. I think there have always been individuals who've had this viewpoint and mindset. It has only been over the past, let's say, 8 years, maybe we'll just say six, that individuals have been given permission to show their bigotry and to show their hatred. And as a result of that, we are now seeing something that used to be, as we would say, under the surface. People are now seeing it being manifest. The only thing is that we, as individuals who embrace diversity, who embrace this intersection of cultures, need to be just as vocal. And that's what Pride is about. Pride is about being who you are and having the courage to be able to do that. I think that for as much pressure as put on us, we have to push back. And we do it, interestingly, not out of anger, but out of love. The movement within the LGBTQIA+ community is about love and identity, who we love and how we identify. It's fun. It's almost, in the purest way, it is one of the most foundational things this country stands for.
When you were here before.
Pride Fest starts at noon on Saturday at the Innovation District Park in Providence. There will be performances by Ada Vox, Pangina Heels, Willie Gomez, and more. And the Pride Illuminated Night Parade begins at 8 p.m. The list of events is available at prideri.com. Jackie Sibley's Drury won the 2019 Pulitzer Prize for Drama for her play Fairview, which is on now at Trinity Rep. We saw it recently, and it's difficult to talk about for two reasons. One, we don't want to give away any of the surprise turns in the play. And two, it's about race, which is not always easy to talk about.
Yeah, I went into Fairview with a sort of a vague idea that this was a play that was going to ask me to confront my identity and how I felt about that. But I wasn't sure how they were going to do that. And the play starts off looking very conventional, almost too conventional.
Yeah, the first act is basically a half-hour sitcom. It's about an upper-middle-class Black family preparing a dinner party for Grandma's birthday. The program notes make reference to 90s sitcoms like Family Matters, but thankfully there's no Urkel in this play.
There is a husband and wife, played by Joe Wilson Jr. and Mia Ellis, and there's the teenage daughter, Keisha, played by Ajinea Carter, and Jackie Davis plays Aunt Jasmine.
It's 30 minutes of very gentle comedy with jokes that are just mildly funny. The husband forgot to pick up the proper ingredients for the meal. The wife has to have the cheese plate arranged just so. The teenager drops the contents of her backpack all over the stage.
It's a sitcom.
It's almost like the playwright is trying to lull us into a false sense of security.
And there are some hints that there may be a conflict involving the teenage daughter that would build into the drama of a normal play. But then at the start of the second act, they throw everything out the window and you don't know what's going on.
The play opens with the line, "What are you looking at?" It sort of flies under the radar as a typical sitcom line from a wife to her husband. But then you see the line, "What are you looking at?" performed again at the beginning of the second act, and it's a question directed at the audience. The playwright says that surveillance is one of the themes of the play, in particular the white gaze surveillance of African Americans.
The white gaze can mean the unacknowledged assumption that the viewer of a play is a white person, or it can be the feeling of surveillance that people of color can experience while being observed by a white viewer.
The events of the second act make the idea of the white gaze explicit. And by the third act, the gentle sitcom humor is gone, and we're bouncing from outrageous stereotypes to a surreal food fight.
And then it ends in a way that I have never seen a play end before in my entire life, and you, the audience, become totally involved in it. And so you walk out of the theater, and you'll probably spend the next few days wondering, what was that all about?
It's definitely a piece of theater that makes you think, that confronts your expectations, and that even makes you a little uncomfortable. Just what you'd expect from a Pulitzer Prize-winning play.
And there are just a few days left to see Fairview at Trinity Rep. It's on through Sunday, June 19th.